This is Haunted America with your host, Josh Mantello and Al Shepard on Blog Talk Radio. To discuss today's topics, call 646-716-5896. And now, Haunted America with Josh Mantello and Al Shepard.
And welcome, everyone, to this edition of Haunted America Radio. My name's Al Shepard, and I'm usually joined by my co-host, Josh Mantello, but he has some important things that he has to attend to today. So while I'm thinking of it, we will not be here next week as we both have some things to take care of, but we will be back here on my birthday, July 5th. But we're moving the show to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific. That way it'll be later in the afternoon for our West Coast listeners, hopefully a little easier for them, and it'll be after dinner for our East Coast listeners, and those of you in the middle of the country, sorry. Here on Haunted America Radio, we discuss all things paranormal, what they are, and how just maybe you can experience some of them yourself. And although Josh is not here, I'm not going to spend the day alone. You can tell I wrote this ahead of time, can't you? I'd do better when I just wing it. I got a very special guest co-host with me, Gemini Rose. Are you there, Gem?
I am absolutely here, fired up, and I'm ready to go.
All right. For those of you who don't know you, let me run down a little bit of information. Gemini Rose is a psychic medium with a wide range of psychic senses that she uses to obtain messages and information during a reading. And it says here that your strongest are clairsentience and claircognizance. Do you, like a bunch of psychics, sit around and just make up these foot-long words so those of us peons can't really pronounce them?
I can't take credit. I can't take credit for making up those words. I wish I could, but...
Well, I mean, people like me, it's like, just tell me you feel and you know stuff, you know? I mean, these big foot-long words. Anyway... She's been given psychic readings for 8 years, and it says here you became aware of your gifts as a child.
Yeah.
But you didn't do nothing with them.
Correct.
Is this kind of like on The Ghost Whisperer, where the mother denies all the abilities that she has and just pushes them aside and then gets wicked headaches and really cranky and it acts like she's going through menopause all the time?
I should have seen more episodes of The Ghost Whisperer, but I don't know. Could have been something like that. It was just one of those things that as a kid, I didn't really understand what was going on. I just took it to be very normal. And then I guess as I figured out more and more getting older that it wasn't really normal, then I just ignored it, yeah, for a while. And then it just kept coming out at me.
All right, I'm really screwing up your bio, but that's okay, because we're going to learn all about you today. The reason for you being here is not for you to give readings to anyone, but I just want to pick you apart and see what makes you tick, because psychics is really something that interests me, and how you do what you do, and how you know what you're doing, and what you're not doing, and all that. So... I think we're going to have a lot of fun here in the next couple hours.
Well, thank you bunches for having me here, because I'm excited about it, and I'm excited to share with you what I know. And don't worry, I'll tell you straight up if I don't know. I have no problems letting you know if I don't know something. So.
All right, I see Lamplighter Radio and a reading teacher. Good to have you with us in the chat room. And let's see, where's my little list of questions here. Well, actually, I was going to write a list of questions, but then I thought, well, I don't even need to read the questions. I'll just think of them and let you answer them.
Let's do that. I'm on board. I'm all about it. Let's go. I'm ready to go.
Oh, I got to stop picking on you.
I know. What is this? This pick on the medium day. I get this vibe.
I don't know. Because I know you can take it, that's all.
Yeah, it's all in good fun. I adore you. I absolutely adore you, so I know it's all in good fun. It's great. I can just tell already that there are going to be all kinds of surprises that come out of this show, so that makes it all the more exciting.
Well, I'm glad you say that, because the very first question at the top of my list is, are you surprised by anything?
Ah, wow, good question. Yes, but I, that's a very good question. Of course, things surprise me, but, and I'm surprised by that question. Yeah, things surprise me, but then they excite me. I get the initial surprise, and then the excitement kicks in. And so all of the weird things that happen to me on a daily basis do nothing but drive me, and they fuel my passion for learning and growing more. And so, yeah, I'm constantly surprised, and that's what keeps life fun and exciting and mysterious. And so I would be lost without my daily surprises.
There you go. I mean, those of us who aren't psychic probably really can't even grasp how you get the information that you get. And I guess that comes down to all these different aspects that the clairsentience and all that. Can you just quickly run down the kind of different, I don't know, different classification or different specialties there are to psychics?
I love it. The scientific classification. Yes, I think I can. I think I can try to put a more scientific sound to it. First of all, I liked what you said about those of us who aren't psychic have no idea what you're talking about, because that's one of the most major misconceptions, is that, well, you have the few that have it, and then the rest of us are just lost on our own, and that's absolutely untrue. The difference between me and the people some of the people in the chat room, or some of the listeners who say, you know, they say all the time, I'm as psychic as a rock, I think, is what Josh said on the show a few days ago. And I know Ray Abney from Haunted South Paranormal always says, I'm as psychic as a ham sandwich. And it's just simply not true. I personally believe that when we come into this physical experience that we're forced to live, this human experience while we're spiritual beings, I really do believe that we bring all of those things innately with us, the same way that we bring with us intuitively how we're going to function as human beings. I think it's just as much a part of what is instilled in us, and perhaps even encoded in our DNA, is to use these extra senses, these extra sensory perception. So I do believe, in fact, I know that everybody has the capability. It's just that some are able to get to it more quickly, or learn it sooner, or are more open to it. So the differences there are not whether we're all psychic beings or spiritual beings, because we all are psychic and spiritual. It's just the ones who have tapped into the psychic senses and who have learned to do that. And I do also know that anyone can learn to do it, because, you know, when I started all of this, I wasn't like I am now, and I'm not afraid to say that. I am not afraid to say that I am a normal person, a normal human being who started out with, it's like I had the tools, but I didn't know how to use them, and I didn't know what to do with them. And so I started learning just like everyone else did, and I just had an insatiable thirst to grow and to grab as much as I possibly could from every experience. And I just started paying attention to my gut. I started paying attention to feelings that I got and things that didn't feel like they were, you know? So I started really tuning into everything, and it grew. And so the point of that yammering on and on and on is that everyone really does have the potential, and I know you'll hear a lot of people say that, but never let anyone make you feel like they are above you because they're a psychic or they're a medium or they're some extraordinary metaphysical person and you're not, because it's absolutely incorrect. It's just not true at all. It is something that can be grown and cultivated. Some people pick it up faster, just like, you know, there are musicians who who learn to play the piano much more easily than other people do, but we all have that raw talent or raw gift. Yeah,
so you asked me
to describe those senses.
well, we'll get back to that.
I had to say it because I was just like, oh, misconception right away. So go ahead.
Well, good. That's what I'm here for, because I'm under the same misconceptions that other people are under, I'm sure. So what exactly, when you were a child, did you become aware of that made you think you, how do I want to put this? Out of the ordinary?
Yeah, I was different.
Wacko?
Yeah. No, it's okay. You know, when I was little, even just a child, I remember being 5, 6, 7, all the way through, even as a teenager, I always considered myself a very spiritual person. And maybe because when I was younger, I did grow up in the Christian religion, and my parents did instill a love for God in me.
That description, every Christian should be psychic then, you know? There's got to be a little bit more to it than that.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. But what I think was different about me is that I walked around on a daily basis knowing that I was in tune with God, or the higher power, or one, or spirit, or whatever you want to call this divine flow that's around us. Because I guess you would say I prayed frequently, but it was more like a talk. I was just kind of talking to spirit in my mind, or whenever I was alone and I had an issue going on or whatever, I felt like I had a free, open communication. And I think that's what's really sad about a lot of, I never want to offend anyone. A lot of religious views being that, let me illustrate. I was at a church camp one summer, and I was out in the dark on a picnic table, and I guess I kind of fell into a trance, and I was doing my talking, and I know that I received a divine message that evening, and it came down to be a prophecy. It was actually the prophecy of my daughter being born, but I got this a few years earlier when I was in high school. And when this happened, I knew that I had spoken to Jesus, but that was normal to me because I like figured I always talked to God and that was normal. And so I went and I was telling my friend, and my friend turned to me and she looked at me and said, "Who do you think you are? What makes you so special that you think God would talk directly to you? You can't just say things like that." And then, I must have stirred the pot, because apparently word got around and the actual owner and administrator or reverend or whatever of this church camp that I was attending came and pulled me out of chapel, and he sat me down and he had a little talk with me, a little talking to about how whatever it was that I thought I had experienced, it was not possible because I was not an ordained minister, I was not high enough up in the church, or that I could be talking to God, and it was very wrong of me to say that that's what I had experienced. And he said, whatever this thing is that happened to you, it must be basically adolescent stuff. Oh, you're just having, you know, feelings for this boy or whatever. And that, it hurt me greatly, because it basically was telling me that everything I knew as a spiritual being my whole entire life long was wrong. And so I think that was a major turning point for me, to know at that point that there's something here that doesn't work well. I don't understand.
That almost sounds like my feelings, which I'm not as afraid to offend people as you are.
Because I love people and I don't want to hurt their feelings.
I know. It's like, I believe in God, a higher power, but I don't go to church because it seems to me that he's everywhere, and I can sit here in the living room and I can talk to him just as well here as I can in a chapel. And I don't need to go somewhere and throw money into a plate every week to buy my favors with God. And that brings me back to another question I've been asking people is, are hell and demons real, or was that just created by the church to scare everyone into following church doctrine? because it seems to me organized religion is much more like politics than it is like spirituality. And what you just said almost backs that up. You know, who do you think you are? Only ministers and priests get to talk to God. Well, that's not the way I've read the Bible. You know, anybody should be able to talk to God, and it doesn't have to be only on a Sunday, and it doesn't have to be only in a chapel with the certain gatekeepers around allowing you to do so.
Absolutely. And that very same message came through my daughter the other day, actually, because we're going to be taking a trip to New York and staying with some friends up there. There's the twin psychics, and I've made a very close bond and friendship with these ladies, and they're just wonderful healers and beautiful people. And my daughter said, I need to pack some dresses in case we go to church on Sunday. And I looked at her and I said, honey, I don't think we're going to church on Sunday. We don't, you know. And she looked back at me and I said, Abigail, we live God every day. Every minute of the day we're living God. We don't have to save it just for Sundays. Some people save it just for Sundays, but we don't have to do that. Now, I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that going to church on Sunday is a bad thing, because it's absolutely not. Going to be with people with whom you share a divine love and fellowship with is a wonderful, beautiful thing. But there is just so much teaching that you can only go to the temple to pray. You can only go through certain people to be divinely inspired or close to God. It's a great desire and passion I have to help people break through that. I want them to see past that, that that's absolutely not true. You are a divine being yourself, and you have the capabilities, and you are. I mean, it's not even a matter of having the capabilities. It's a matter of you are a divine spirit, and you're one with all that is here. And so there's no reason to feel detached, because it's part of who you are. So it's as close as simply just going inside of yourself and saying, oh, look at me, I am a part of this.
Yeah, I look at church as more of a social club, like any of the other clubs out there. And then there's some people that abuse it, that they'll sin all week long and then rush to church on Sunday morning hoping to be forgiven so they can go sin all the next week too, you know. So there's a lot of abuse to it, if you ask me.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was watching something on TV, actually last night. I don't watch TV very often, but I got stuck and somehow sucked into a gospel talk, and I'll just say that. But the messages that seemed to be coming out of there were things of obeyance. And that really bothered me a little bit, because I thought it's like a control, a manipulation thing. Like, we have to obey in order to be loved by God. And it just feels like it's so manipulative. Like, don't think outside the box, or don't try to be, in tune yourself, or don't try to connect. As long as you obey and do what you're supposed to be doing, then all the good things will come to you. And also I kept seeing the message of the people who are sorrowful and the righteous will suffer. And I just thought, oh, that ropes everyone into this mentality that we're all victims, that we all have to suffer in order to be spiritual beings. Like, oh, well, you're suffering in life. Know that you're one of the good ones. You're having a rough time, so you're a good spiritual person. And I just, that bothers me, that because it does nothing but hold people down and oppress them, and it makes them feel like, I don't deserve any better. I don't deserve to have good things in life. I don't deserve to be, you know, anywhere more than where I am right now. I don't deserve to be happy, but hey, you know, at least this is telling me that I'm a spiritual being for it. And I don't pretend to be an expert on the subject, but I do know what feels right inside of me and what doesn't. And so if I'm given the opportunity to speak my mind on it, I guess I will. Apparently.
you're moving into the laws of manifestation phase, which I haven't wanted to get to there yet.
I will back up.
It's on
and
my
let
list. Now let's go. Now let's go back to the original question, because I could go in 100 different directions here. Mm-hmm. The different types of I don't know what you call it, psychicism.
Uh-huh. The psychism.
And,
you're right.
What they are and what they do for you, or what they tell you, or
Well, gosh, there are so many ways. It's like, imagine when you walk around your world and you're the observer and you're perceiving everything around you. Like, imagine standing on the busy street corner of New York City, and what are the sights, the things that you see and the things that you hear, the honking of horns and people talking and laughing and cell phones ringing, and what do you smell? You smell hot dogs and hamburgers nearby in a coffee shop, and you know, what does it feel like around you? Well, all of those sensory perceptions that you have on the physical level, they go into you, your brain processes them, to my understanding, and there, bam, you have your experience. Well, you have those same sensory perceptions on a psychic level, if you will, and I don't know if that's because they exist in another dimension or whatever. I can't speak, you know, I can't speak scientifically on that, but I can tell you that when you're having a psychic experience or when spirit is coming through, all of those same kinds of sensations are there. So, for example, clairaudience. Well, it's clear hearing, because audience is like audio and it's hearing. So those can be hearing messages, hearing words or phrases or names or music. Anything that you hear would be considered clairaudience. And some people hear them physically with their ears. For those of you listening, if you ever notice that it feels like your ears start ringing or popping or shifting or there's like some weird stuff going on, a lot of times that is you kind of picking up on stuff. It's like a radio dial, and just getting the right frequency is key there to actually physically hearing, spirit. But so that's clairaudience. You have clairvoyance, which is what most people are pretty familiar of, or they've at least heard it. And that's being able to have clear sight. So clairvoyance for me is, I see things in my mind's eye, in the third eye that we talk about, and whether they're images or people. Sometimes I see with my eyes closed or with my eyes open. It doesn't really matter. Sometimes I see the things actually physically manifested in front of me, but other times it's all mentally in my mind. There's clear smelling. You can smell. And I know people always talk about perfumes and scents, because if you think of it, scent really has something very connected to memory. It can trigger memory really, really well. I remember a couple weeks ago I was in the grocery store and I was walking down the cleaning aisle, and I don't know what it was that I smelled, some specific kind of cleaner, but bam, it took me back to when I was 4 years old and I was helping my aunt run her store just for the day at work, the only one day I'd ever been there. But it was so interesting to me how that one scent that I just caught a whiff of took me back there. So I do believe that spirit knows how powerful scent is. And so if, you know, say your grandfather used to work in the citrus industry and I start smelling oranges, well, that would be a key to me. If I say I'm smelling oranges, what in the world does that have to do with anything? And then, you know, closely related to the scent is taste. Taste isn't something that I have personally experienced a lot. I haven't, except for the other night. I was looking at a picture of a young lady, and I could tell I was kind of getting the energy of her through the picture. And looking at her, I immediately became very slowed down. I was really, really slowed down, and I felt very, very heavy. And I knew that that was depression. And then all of a sudden, my mouth started watering, and I knew that I was going to be sick. And so I had to change the page, because I knew that it wasn't me that was sick. I was simply picking up on her situation. And a friend of mine told me then, she said, well, she's bulimic. So I guess that would be closest experience that I can think of right now that I've had with the taste. And then you have clairsentience, which is like it's a clear feeling. And that is one of my strongest things, is when I'm giving a reading, you'll hear people say, or you'll hear me say, I feel this, and I feel that, and I feel like this is happening, and they make me feel like I want to, and you should see me when I'm talking. My hands start going, and so a lot of times spirit will bring through messages through clairsentience that way to me. They'll make me feel a certain way. If a person passed through, say, a gunshot wound to the head or whatever, I might feel an impact in my head area. I remember one night I was giving a reading, and a friend of mine had lost a girlfriend many years ago, and he hadn't been able to let go of that yet. And so I had I had sat down with him and I brought her through. And it was really interesting because the whole time I was talking to him, my hands were moving. And they were moving really quickly. And I just looked at him and I said, "What am I doing with my hands?" And he said, "She was deaf and she spoke in sign language." And so I said, "Oh, okay, that makes sense. I understand what I'm doing with my hands now." So that's an example of the clairsentience too. I was just channeling the energy, and she was, that was her way of giving him a very personal message too, speaking through my hands that way, and me looking like she would have when she was speaking in sign language. And then claircognizance is clear knowing, and it's just, you know it, and you don't know why you know it, but you just know it, and that's all there is to it. So, and there are more, there are so many different tools that you can use, like psychometry is having an object like a necklace or a ring or a photograph and picking up, like I did when I was looking at the photograph of the girl and I picked up that she is bulimic. It's like holding something in your hand and picking up the residual energy from it. So, and there are, you know, other tools.
This could be a whole show in itself, huh? Just going through the different categories here. Now, with the smelling, now I've seen where people say, "Oh, I smell cigars," or "I smell perfume," or have you ever run across one where, like, a real nasty person and you smelt body odor or something?
No, I haven't had that happen yet, but now that we've acknowledged that that's possible, I'm sure sometime in the near future I will have a very smelly spirit that comes to me, and then I will call you, Al, and I will say, "Yes, yes, spirit brought through." I mean, no, I haven't experienced that, but you're so funny with your questions. That's an awesome question. I would never think to ask that.
Well, this is the way my mind works, you know.
Well, but I love the way your mind works. I really do, and that's why I'm just having a blast. But conceivably, yes, I mean, it could happen, and I'm sure one day it will. And when it does happen and I'm smelling that, I don't know how I'm gonna put that to the person and be like, perhaps the person that had a little difficult time with hygiene, would this make sense to you? So I'll let you know when that happens, okay, Al?
Well, who knows? I mean, you might be doing a reading for a homeless person or something, you know, that hasn't showered in 2 months or something. But
yes.
These are just things I think about.
I know. Thank you for entertaining me. I love it.
All right, now, the difference between, because I know you're both a psychic and a medium, what the difference between the two for those who may not know?
Okay. I'm going to give my disclaimer now. I'm not very good at chatting and running a radio show or being a guest at the same time. So I'm letting them know in the chat room, I love you guys, but I have a difficult time keeping with both, and then I go off on my tangents and I leave the computer anyway. The difference between
the great
psychic
/ medium Gemini Rose can't multitask. Isn't that something?
Yes, I can. Well, okay. The difference between a psychic and a medium, I heard this put pretty simply the other day, actually. Psychics can somehow, through their senses, whether it's, you know, seeing or hearing or whatever, they can get information on the past, present, and future. They're tapped into, basically, all they are is they're plugged into the collective unconscious, okay? This collective unconscious is this mass of information and energy and everything that ever was, is, and will be, just floating around. It flows in and out of us. It's all around us on a daily basis. Psychics just take their little cord and they plug into that, and then we can get whatever information we need to get from this little flow of the collective unconscious. That's it. A medium...
Do you use a USB cord, or...?
You know, I actually, when I'm meditating, and I even meditated before I came on the show today, when I'm meditating, at the very end, I literally imagine sending a plug up from my crown chakra at the top of my head, and I plug it into a huge orange sign, like out in space, that says, like, spirit or God or universe. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's just my way of mentally plugging in. It's my way of energetically...
Hey.
Plugging in, and the visual that I have created to do that makes it more powerful. It sends the message to my guides, hey, look at me, I'm plugging in now, I'm ready to go.
It's like you're signing on. Okay, now I'm on
Yes.
duty.
Yes, I'm clocking in. I'm clocking in.
Maybe you'll get a paycheck someday from some organization
right.
for all them hours you've clocked in.
That's right.
All
some
right.
intergalactic organizational. Whoa, that's weird. Ooh,
right.
It'll just be signed God.
There
okay.
you go. Now the medium part.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the medium part. Thanks for keeping me on track. Medium is a fancy word for messenger. We're the channel. We're the conduit. So you have spirits on the other side. Some of them have lived before, but I also know that there are beings on the other side who have never incarnated, probably through a choice of their own. They just decide not to. You know, angels, there are all kinds of energies around us. And then you have spirits who are trapped between the physical and the next dimension. So those are the ones that have not gone into the quote-unquote light. Those are what we call earthbound spirits. So you have all kinds of energies around you all the time on a daily basis, not to freak you out, but it's true. And so a medium is basically a messenger. We're just like, okay, I'm in the middle. I'm the medium in the middle. I'm the one that goes between. I'm the little go-between. This one has something to say to somebody in the physical. I mean, that's all it is. It's bringing messages and being the messenger, being the channel. That's all it is.
All right. For those guests that are in the chat room, if you want to take a few minutes and register and get a free account, then you can log into the chat room and chat with everyone. If you want to call in, listen to the show, 646-716-5896. See, I get doing that stuff, and then I forget the question I was going to ask you, because I was going to go in 100 different directions here.
Oh, and then no doubt I'll go in 100 more when you ask, so don't worry about it.
with the mediumship, I think I asked Carly Rose this, and I'm going to ask you the same question. The spirits that have crossed over versus the ones who haven't, do you hear them differently? Do some of them sound closer to you than others, or do they just sound different?
Well, I have to tell you, first of all, the way what Carly Rose does is a little different from what I do. We're both mediums, but we're mediums in a different way. Carly Rose is.
Oh, you mean there's more categories to that too?
Yes, there are. There are. Carly Rose is like one of five people on the planet, according to Marcus Leader, that can do what she does. She's what we call a physical medium, and a physical medium is a person. The energies around her, the best that I can understand it, can actually manipulate her own physical energy to manifest themselves. And what I mean by that is this. There's something about her energy that kind of like creates a piercing in the veil between the worlds, and it allows them to manifest through her. So when Carly Rose is around, the same energy that she might use to make herself speak, they can somehow tap into that physical energy of hers, and they can actually make their voice audible in the air around you to people who aren't even considered to be psychics or mediums. So there's something very special about Carly Rose and the way that she works as a medium. Now, she does hear them auditorily, which means she can hear them the same way you hear me talking to you in the phone right now. When I work as a medium, I'm a mental medium. I do mental mediumship. It's mostly telepathic communication. Now, I will tell you that through meditation and through this spiritual boot camp that I seem to be going through right now, my actual auditory, my ears are opening up to hear things differently, and I have started hearing things the way that Carly Rose does, but it's still, I mean, I'm not a physical medium. I'm just kind of getting a little bit of lesson of how that works, and that's how I know that your ears will start ringing, and it's like they're adjusting the frequencies. So, so she hears them actually with her ears in a way that I do not. Now, I can tell you the way that I sense the difference between an energy that is crossed over and an earthbound, I can tell you that. Like I said before, clairsentience and empathy, that feeling, I'm very, very keyed into people's energies. So I feel them. I feel what they're like. And let me explain further. when I'm tapped into and bringing through an energy from the other side, their vibration, I can actually feel the energy around them. It seems to move very, very quickly. And so I usually get talking really quickly because it kind of gets me amped up, like I just drank a couple shots of espresso. And so it's very, very fast paced, and it feels like it's up above me because it's a higher frequency level. The earthbound energies, they feel more like human beings to me. And I guess that's because they vibrate at a slower rate. So when they're standing next to me, it feels like some human being that's still living just walked up and stood next to me. So that to me comes through almost really just as loud, but very differently than the energies from the other side. So that's how I can differentiate, because the messages come really quickly from the other side. They're at a very fast vibrational rate. And it gets my own energy vibrating very quickly. The energies that are earthbound, when they come near me, I actually slow down with them. So I do believe that that's why I can connect with them the way that I do, because I know the ones on the other side, I have to quicken my energy pace. I have to meet it up. I have to, like, you know, tune it up to their level. And I'm sure you as a radio operator understand that better than I do. But I know that I have to get on their frequency. Well, the ones around me who are earthbound, they vibrate at that lower rate, and so lots of times I find myself, for lack of a better term, I trance out. Like, I get really slow and just kind of tuned in, but I can feel them walk right up next to me. You know, I was scooping cat poop the other day, cleaning the litter box, and you know, a 20-something-year-old guy walked up behind me, and I was just like, yeah, I know you're here, by the way, you know? So I know that sounds crazy, but it is what it is.
No, well, you should have made him finish cleaning the box.
I should have. If I were physical medium Carly Rose, maybe he could have manipulated my energy and could have cleaned that cat box for me. I'm going to start putting these little ones that hang out with me just to see what I'm... Because they really do. I mean, they really do. They come
to work.
I'm watching TV. They'll just sit down and just sit there. And I'm like, are you watching this? Like, what are you doing? But
all right,
you're
now,
right. I'm going to start putting them to work.
Now I got to jump ahead to another question because I don't know if it was Carly Rose that said this. I heard her or not, but okay. Now you can see these spirits around you like all the time. They just show up like on the Ghost Whisperer. You know, you're just there, and all of a sudden they'll walk up to you.
Okay.
That wasn't a question. Well, that was a question, but that wasn't the question.
Okay, that's all right. I'll be quick about it then. How about that? I have yet to see, and I know it's coming, and I know as soon as this comes out of my mouth, I'm sealing my fate, but I have yet to see a full-bodied apparition walk up to me and say, hi, Jim, how are you? It's a lovely day today, isn't it? I know that it happens, but I don't see them standing in front of me the way that I would see you in the physical standing before me. Now, what I have experienced...
You just know they're there. Like you said, the guy come up behind you. You just knew he was there, right?
My sense of feel is really strong. So I feel...
So,
you know, I'm in the room with people who are living, and I can feel what's going on with them and how they feel because I'm very empathic. I'm a clairsentient. But I do see energy masses. I mean, that makes me sound like I hallucinate, but I can see colored areas. I have seen outlines. I have seen shadowed outlines, and I know that that's a person, and I'm guessing that usually that's an earthbound. I have experienced that, but I'm waiting for the day when, just like on TV, they show up and look like you and me, and they say, hello, it's a fine day, isn't it? And I'll say, yes, it is, because I just experienced my first full-bodied apparition. Let me not wet myself, okay?
That depends. So you're just, like, laying in bed, and just, like, these things are, like, all around in the bedroom, just, like, there? I hope she wakes up pretty soon, because I really want to talk.
Wow, you're getting to the heart of the matter. I love it.
The question is, Carly said she now wears pajamas, so I guess my question to you is, you don't dare sleep nude, right, because these people are around you all the time.
They are frequently and more around me, yes. I don't know that I'm that interesting when I'm sleeping. I can tell you that lately, I know while I'm sleeping, I'm communicating, because I wake up and I feel like I just went through a whole day's work. So, and before I wake up, I'll hear myself talking to people and they're talking to me, and then I wake up and I'm like, God, did I even sleep? But Yeah, I do. They're just around, but I don't think they stand there and watch me sleep. You know, sometimes they might wake me up, or a lot of times they'll come to me as I'm falling asleep, because that's when I'm most easily accessible. I'm in that in between. So, for example, my roommate had a friend over a couple of weeks ago, and I was in bed and I'm getting snuggled in and I'm just like, oh, clean bed, I love it, I'm ready to sleep. And then, bam, this girl's grandmother comes to me, and then I'm just like, no, I'm off the clock. I'm in bed. I'm ready to go to sleep now. Can't you see that? And anyway, she eventually got me to give the message, but I wouldn't give it to the next day because I was already tucked in for the night. But so, yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter where you are or what you're doing. If they want to be around you, they will. And then they go. I mean, I don't know what they do when they're gone, but they go somewhere else. I'm not that entertaining that they just want to be around and watch what I do all day.
Well, they probably got a full schedule jumping between you and all the other psychics out there. All right,
she
didn't do nothing for me. Let's go to Carly Rose's house.
Yeah.
Let's go over to Marcus's and let's go here and Bill's house or something, you know. And I know they stop by me once in a while because I feel the covers lift up and then all of a sudden I hear this laughter and then the covers go back down again. So
they do, especially earthbound energies. I mean, they like to play funny little pranks and make you jump and stuff because it's funny. And you know what? I gotta say that I'm not ready to go now, but when I'm ready to go, I'm not afraid, and I know it's gonna be really exciting and interesting. And don't you worry, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna haunt some of my friends for a little while. I'm just gonna do those kinds of fun things that they do. I'm gonna, like, you know, just flip off the TV when they're watching it just for fun, just because I don't like that show. You know, so
exactly. I'm going to have a lot of fun haunting people when I'm gone. I mean, I can't wait. So, have you ever helped anyone cross over?
Good question. Not that I can say for sure. No, not at this point. And that would be because do I feel and do I know that eventually that will come? Yes, I do. I know it's all part of my past, and that's just going to be another lesson I'm going to get to experience. But the paranormal and earthbound energies are very new to me. It's only been in the last couple of months that I've really started learning about that, because before then, all I recognized, I won't say that, you know, all I knew existed, but all I ever recognized were energies that had crossed over. So when I did have the opportunity to meet Stephen Rabel and Ray and Lisa from Haunted South Paranormal and Carly Rose and all these other people who work with paranormal investigation, Apollo Paranormal, the list goes on, but that helped me to really open up to the experience. And now I'm learning very quickly. Now I can already distinguish between ones that have crossed over and earthbound. I was absolutely freaked out when the earthbounds, when I was able to sense them and I knew that they were there. I've had my own, you know, kind of scary experiences, but now it's kind of just normal. I know that sounds weird that the paranormal, the abnormal, has become very normal. I haven't done that yet. It'll happen, but it's not something
I know you've been on what, one investigation? At the Ringling, is that the only investigation you've been on so far?
That would be correct. I did that one because I only met those people, and goodness, I was a guest on Stephen Rabel's show, I believe the 8th of April on Haunted South Radio, and after that, then I actually met those people, and then, wow, a couple of weeks later, by the end of April, I was invited by Apollo Paranormal Investigations to attend the Ringling investigation with them. And I have to say that I know I am so spoiled. The universe does that, at least for me. I mean, they do lots for me, but my first paranormal investigation was the Ringling Museum. Like, how cool is that? That's somewhere everybody should want to go. And I didn't just go to a residence. I didn't just go to a graveyard. I went to the Ringling Museum, and I got to experience that place in a whole new way. And so, it was really fascinating.
I don't know. I continuously hear about people that are stuck here on this earth and they don't know they've died and things like that. And my first thought is, how do you not know you've died? I mean, haven't you noticed that you haven't taken a leak in 6 months? I mean, you haven't gotten dressed. You haven't eaten. I mean, isn't this a little weird to you that you're just hanging in this one spot, but you haven't had to go to the bathroom or anything? You know, it's like, how do you not know you're dead?
I don't know. Sounds like
these are the questions I want investigators to ask, not continuously for 20 minutes asking, are you here with me? Oh, did you make that sound? Make another sound. Oh, did you make that sound? Make another sound. How about asking them some interesting questions, you know?
You and I are going to get together, and we need to do a channeling session. And I will channel, and you just ask this stuff away. You just ask. It sounds like a lot of that, and I can't, again, I'm not a paranormal investigator, but I do know that there are different kinds of hauntings. There are what they call a residual haunting, which is where the energy is probably not still there. The energy, the actual soul, if you will, isn't still stuck to that place. To my understanding, a residual haunting is where something so dramatic or something so intense happened that it actually leaves an energy imprint in that place. Like, if there were, say, a brutal murder there, then it's such an intense emotional experience and everything that it imprints the energy at that place. And so those things that keep recurring, and maybe it's the kind of haunting that repeats itself over and over again, those things are the ones that don't know that they've passed, because it's really not even an active soul. Now, are there other spirits who don't know that they've died? I would imagine, yes, that there are. But I don't, I can't answer that question. I don't know how it is that they don't know. You're right.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody's looking at me. Nobody's talking to me. Why aren't they talking to me?
Yeah, it's like, I've been trying to tap him on the shoulder for 6 months, and they're just ignoring me. And it's like, well, don't you get it yet? I mean, are you dumb as a rock or what? So.
If Stephen Rabel's still in the chat room, he could call in and maybe answer that one, because I don't have a good answer there.
Oh, anyways, speaking of the twins, I watched a reading that they did the other day, and they're brutal. I mean, they don't pull any punches. They come right out and they tell you. Wow.
They aired all that girl's dirty laundry right there.
Oh, man. Yeah, I watched
they
that
sure
video.
Did.
That was funny. You got talking that you were experimenting with astral travel.
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Explain that a little bit, what that is. And
astral
how
travel.
You do it.
Now the how is the tricky part. Astral travel basically is when your soul or spirit can leave the physical body and travel on what they call the astral plane. And I know that sounds very sci-fi or whatever, and yes, it does. But I have experienced it. I know that it does exist, and I know that I'm meant to know more how to control it. And people astral all the time in their sleep. When they're in that subconscious state and they're sleeping, the soul can leave the body and they go other places and stuff like that. So my thing is learning to do that at conscious will in my waking state. I have been told, one of the twins especially, her name is Chen-Hee, astral projection is something that she does quite frequently. And I've been talking with her and learning more about it, and she tells me that I show up all the time. And she'll be like, what were you doing last night at 1:30 a.m.? And I'll say, oh, well, I was meditating. And she'll be like, yeah, you were here, and this is what you were wearing. And she'll describe it, and it's correct. So it's really interesting. Now, it's funny that you should ask me how this works, because a couple of weeks ago I couldn't have told you, but I did a channeling session, and let me explain that, with my guide. Basically, I was asking one of my guides, the one that teaches me most, and I'll tell everyone his name is Samuel. There you have it. He's my teacher guide. I asked him, all right, so what do I need to know? Like, what do you want to teach me today? And I recorded the session, and he went into a talk about the collective unconscious, and it really got into it from a quantum mechanics perspective and how particles can be and electrons can be in two places at the same time. And he basically said that all of us exist in this flow of consciousness. We are all one and the same. Just like I said before, we're all part of spirit. We're all part of this flow. This flow is constantly going in and out of us on a daily basis. That's why other people's thoughts are flying around you, and people who are sensitive might pick them up and own them as their own. And he basically said, the way that I as a psychic feel other people is I simply become that other person. It's like I'm traveling within. If you imagine the collective unconscious as an ocean full of all these little drops of water, and I'm one drop over here, basically, in order to feel another person's energy, I kind of become that little drop over in the other part of the ocean. So I'm becoming that drop, and I can feel what it's like to be that person. He told me that astral projection works the same way. You simply become the other drop in the ocean. You become that other particle that's located in another place. And that's how it's supposed to work from a quantum mechanics perspective, I guess. That's how my guide gave it to me. It sounds really tricky. I understand it, but focusing and making it happen is something that I'm currently working with. It's not something that I can claim to be an expert on at all. So that's what I know about it.
I just think it's really cool. I can remember as a kid having the same dream a few times in a row through my life. Don't know what it means, but it's just like standing at the end of a driveway, and there's this big tree on the left, and there's this house down the end of the driveway, and that's all the dream ever is. It's just like me standing there staring at this house. So I don't know exactly what that means, but it's 3-4 times I've had it. So maybe that brings me
to the next question.
Is that a form of astral travel, or maybe is that me remembering something from a past life, maybe? I don't know.
Let me ask you some questions, and let's figure it out, because I love dream interpretation.
Well, the thing is, I haven't had it in years, but yet it's still fresh in my mind. I can mm-hmm. bring that picture into my mind right now, and I can.
Can
see
you
it.
describe the house and the tree to me? Like, what did it look like? Was it modern day? Was it past? Like, what did it look like?
The house doesn't look modern day. The house almost looks like what you'd see on Little House on the Prairie. You know, mm-hmm. a small house with kind of a flat roof on one side and then a pitched roof on the other side. Sits at the end of this driveway. On the left is a big old, I don't know if it'd be a maple tree or oak tree. I mean, a big, huge thing about the big, huge thing, probably 3 feet around. And behind it is just green mountains. It's like sets right up against a mountain or something. And that's all there is to it. I mean, there's nothing else that goes with it. It's just every few years that image pops into my head. When it does, I instantly recognize it as something, okay, I remember dreaming that years ago. And then I'll forget all about it. And then a few years later, it'll just pop into my head, just that one little scene. It's almost like a photograph. You know, no one's moving mm-hmm. in it or anything. It's
okay.
Just that one little thing, so I have no idea what it means.
It would sound to me like a past life memory, because the reason I asked about what the scene was like and how you feel about it is, a lot of times in dreams, houses represent the self. And so if you told me, well, I was standing in front of this dream home that I have, and I was feeling like I just couldn't wait to have that or couldn't wait to move in, then I would tell you, well, it sounds to me like you're looking at the person and the life that you really want, and you can't wait to get to it. But that's not how this goes down for you, especially because it's the same every time, and you seem to be just an observer. So it probably is, if it doesn't change, then it's probably a past life memory. The other thing that it could be is, what's coming to me is, didn't you say that you've studied your genealogy before? So do you have people that, yes, didn't you say that in your genealogy, you have a frontier settlers, correct?
It's a ninth cousin was Laura Ingalls Wilder. So, on my grandmother's side, they actually came over in the 1700s and founded a town up here in New York State. The rest of my relatives immigrated in like the 1880s, come over from England. But yeah, I did have that one branch that has been here since the Revolutionary War. So,
did you have the ones that focused on like, did you have, what is this, cattle farming? What is this, cattle?
Yeah,
I keep
that's where
cattle.
I was,
like I've got my like your family. They were cattle farmers, or they owned
where,
a ranch.
That's
they
where
were
I was
cattle.
Born on a. That's where I was born
okay.
on a farm with 80 cows.
Okay, so you grew up on. Oh, you grew up on the cat. Okay. And your father's in spirit.
Yeah, since I was 7.
And your father was there with you with the cows on the ranch.
Oh yeah, he worked 13 days in a row and had one day off. So.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right on with that. And yeah, he died when I was 7. So I have very few memories of him, but I have a few.
Did you get your interest in radio and like I feel like I'm really interested in the technology of the day, whatever the technology of the day is, like if it were a little tuning in the radios back in the day. I feel like this was somebody who was really interested in the technology of whatever there was, even though we didn't have much. Does that make sense? Like, would he have been interested in those things? I don't know what I'm talking about. Technology of the day, it was.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking the 60s, so I don't really know. Like I said, he died when I was 7. I don't really know that much about him, but
okay.
I, you know, just
let
focusing
me go with, let
on,
me go with
on
this,
what
Al.
Was...
Let me go with it, because it's coming through. Do you want me to share it? Is that okay?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay,
sure.
Okay. He's claiming to be very attached to you and what you do, like the radio stuff that you do and the broadcasting
mm-hmm.
that you do and all of the things that you're tinkering with all the time. He's telling me that he claims to be a part of that, like he's around you when you're doing that. And a lot of times when the inspiration pops into your head and you're going, oh, that's a good idea, where did I come up with that? He's kind of taking claim for that, like, oh, I helped you think of that. That was me. He says that he spends a lot of time, like he shows me you putting things, I don't know what this is that I'm putting together, if I'm putting together radios or I'm putting together, I don't know what this is that I'm putting together stuff, like you're tinkering and building things, but he's showing me that you do that. Does this make sense to you? Do you know what I'm talking about, putting stuff
well,
together?
I don't build anything with my hands, but I do build them in my head. I mean, I'm always coming up with different plans and ideas and schemes, and that's why So the fact that my wife calls me Ralph Cramden all the time because I'm always coming up with these crazy harebrained schemes, I get to blame on him, huh?
And I think he was like that in life, too, like he's kind of claiming to be like that. Whatever that is, whether he was like that, too, or whatever it is, he feels very connected to you during that process.
Yeah, because, I mean, the funny thing is, I don't even have a photo of him. I've searched around and I've never even been able to find a photo. I mean, I remember what he looks like because it's in my head, but would be nice to have a good photo I could share with my family, but I can't. So we're getting off the
I'm sorry. I am so sorry.
Here.
They told me
That's
that
okay.
was going to happen and it did happen. I'm sorry.
just
they told
just
me
so you'll
happen.
Know that just so you know I have a headache now and I hardly ever get a headache, but I can
I'm
tell
so
you've been
sorry.
Inside my head cuz now it hurts.
Okay, I'm trying to turn it off. Just go on with your next question and we'll move on.
But at another time, I would like to get together with you and find out a little bit more information on this subject.
Okie dokie.
Someone that I hardly know that I would like to get to know better. All right, first hour is in the bag. We're coming up, heading to the second hour with my special guest, supposed to be co-host here, but I guess I'm interviewing you more. You're more of the guest than the co-host. Psychic medium Gemini Rose, and I still got a few questions here that I want to ask you. So obviously you believe in reincarnation and things like that. So the thought kicked around in my head here in the last few days of past life regression, and if it's all it's cracked up to be, and if it's something maybe we should, the wife and I should look at, or if it's like, don't even bother.
I think I have had, I have remember past lives on my own, but I did have a past life regression therapy session done with a beautiful, extraordinary woman. Her name is Shannon L. Anderson, and she's written a couple of books. One of them is The Magdalene Awakening, and the other one is Finding Elizabeth. And she and I got together, and we kind of traded. I did a mediumship reading for her. She did a past life regression session for me. And I will tell you that the memories I experienced during that session were very profound, and they were life-changing. They helped me to understand a lot about who I am now, perhaps even fears that I was bringing with me from past lives into this life. Now, so you ask yourself, well, what's the benefit of that, because that already happened? Well, actually, technically, since time's not linear, did it even already happen, or is it about to happen? Who knows? But I guess, if you feel like when you experience those things, you want to experience them in order to better understand who you are as a spiritual whole, who you are as you travel through all of these lifetimes, and how you can apply that knowledge to this lifetime to be a better person, then absolutely, it's worthwhile. It's a very interesting experience. But you should know that your spirit can remember. You know, spirit will take you to wherever it is in the lifetime that meant a lot for you. I did end up remembering some of the very painful parts of my life, and I remembered very joyous times. I remembered very spiritual, weird things that I don't even understand yet, and I remember several times of my passing. And so, it's a really emotional experience. But if your heart's in the right place and you feel that you want to explore it in order to better understand yourself as a spirit, then it's definitely worthwhile.
All right. I'm trying to think of what exactly brought up the conversation. Well, I was listening to Dave over on Darkness Radio, and he had the family on of the 2-year-old boy that was having... that they'd pretty much proven to be a reincarnated World War II pilot.
Mm-hmm.
All the information he was coming through with at 2 years old, you know, no kid should know, and actually had his name and his unit, and they told him where to find his plane and all this stuff. It was really weird. So it got us thinking about past lives, and then certain things that pop into your mind, and you wonder, where do they come from, you know, and it's like, well... You know, where's my interest in Civil War reenacting come from?
Mm.
And maybe that's why, you know. And when I was at Gettysburg, spent 3 days down there at the battlefield, just walking around, looking around, and it, you know, you get that feeling like I've been there before, you know, like I instantly know my way around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So just weird stuff like that makes you think. So, all right. Where do we want to go from here? The astral travel, I wanted to ask you again about that. Now, is that, I've seen on TV people that, psychics that do remote viewing. Now, is that how they do that? Is basically an astral travel type of thing? Or?
That is a good question. Because
I'm glad
I've never
I'm
been
you
involved.
All these
yeah.
Good questions.
No, it's wonderful because you're really getting me to think about a lot of things, and I knew that I would, you know. I would know what to say when the time came. I can say that I don't know for sure if they're all using astral projection, but absolutely. I mean, that would be a way to remote view, would be to project yourself to that place and just be able to see what's going on. But do I also think it's possible to tap into a place without actually astrally going there? Yes, it is. So I'm not an expert on remote viewing, but either way is possible. So maybe some of them do it through astral projection where others don't even need to project there. They can just see it. I really don't know. That's very interesting, but it seems like it could be done either way.
Okay. Well, what got me thinking about that was the different shows on TV, the psychic detectives and things like that. And I know I've related to you the idea that I had of putting law enforcement and psychics together. And I wanted to get your opinion on that idea, because that's just one of these many things that pop into my head for some unknown reason. And then usually someone goes, boy, that's pretty dumb. And then I move on to the next thing. But from what I've seen, law enforcement using a psychic in a case is still kind of iffy. Yeah, what do I want to say? Looked
taboo.
Down upon.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So do you see that changing at all? Is it becoming more accepted lately? I don't know if you do any of that stuff. I know a couple of them that do, but I don't know if you've ever worked with law enforcement personally or not. But I know you probably hear what goes on around the community. So
I do. I do hear what's going on around the community, and I know that there are many, many talented psychics and remote viewers and mediums who work in that field. And I've also heard rumor that it's done, psychics are used more frequently than anyone lets on. And whether that's true or not, I don't know. It seems like it might be because there's got to be, you know, someone in there that's kind of open to it. And it seems like, you know, when they do find a psychic who's able to help and to bring results, it why would it matter where it was coming from? If they were finding who they needed to find, then so be it. I personally have not worked in that type of scenario, and I don't feel that I'll ever be drawn to do so, and I'll tell you why. Pardon me. It does takes a really special person to be able to do that. Those people listening, they can tell from listening to me that I'm a really sensitive person. I am. I'm really sensitive to everything. To things that I hear, I'm sensitive to people's emotions, I'm sensitive to visuals. So, for example, I can't watch violent movies because they hurt my feelings. They do. And the images stick with me. When people tell stories of violent things that have happened to them, I'm right there living the experience with them as they're talking about it. So, for me personally, I'm not at a point yet where I can separate myself emotionally and psychically to be able to deal with that, because you have to think of the psychic who's going to have to basically they're going to have to relive or at least somehow step outside and watch a murder happening and where it occurs. They're going to have to get into the mind and psyche of the criminal who's doing it. They're going to have to, I mean, there's a lot there, and personally I don't believe that I am emotionally strong enough to deal with that, because I feel like I would live in a constant state of depression. I mean, I already can't stand the news because the news hurts my feelings. All of the things that go on, I'm really super sensitive to it. And so I can only imagine if I were working one-on-one with that type of situation, children being, you know, tortured and abused, and it's a lot. It's a lot to handle. And so I give a great deal of credit and respect and props, kudos to those people who do that kind of work, because it takes a really special person who can step outside of something so intense and something so graphic and be willing to reenact it in their own experiences in order to be able to help others. So, yeah, I mean, it's an invaluable tool. I would imagine that the more and more it proves to be useful, the more and more it will spread and be used. But it's not something that I think that I'm personally meant to do, because it's not part of my path.
Well, yeah, the reason I got on that subject, I was watching an episode of Psychic Kids with Chip Coffey, and it was the episode with Travis Sanders on there. And once the show was over, I got on the Internet, and I kind of looked him up just to see what had been going on since the show was over. And found that it's like 4 years later now, and that is what he's doing. He's actually helping law enforcement. So it got me wondering, you know, how many law enforcement agencies actually use psychics, and how do they get a hold of them, and how would they if they wanted to, and all the ridicule that goes along with it. And that's when I came up with the idea of just a basic website where law enforcement could go into a password-protected website. They could put in their information anonymously if they wanted to, and then a bunch of resident psychics of the website, again, anonymously if they wanted to be, could give clues and feedback to the law enforcement officers, and then they could just log in, grab that info, and run with it. And just wanted to get your thoughts on that. If you think I'd ever be able to get any psychics to do that, or if, you know, does everybody want their name in the paper, or would they be willing to do something for the good of doing it, you know? And or maybe I'm going down the wrong path completely, but I just thought if it were the place to anonymously go and do this, that it might be more used, and then in the long run become more accepted once they started getting information on a regular basis that really helped them out, you know. So just whatever your one sentence comment, whatever. Tell me it's crap or whatever.
It's a brilliant idea. You're not going to get one sentence, but I'll be as quick as possible. It's a brilliant idea, and there are many people who are really, really good who would be of benefit and who could do it. And there are lots of people who are out there and do partake in those things. I think that the protection of those working is going to be probably the most difficult challenge that you would run up against. And so if it is your desire to make that a reality, then you're really going to have to put yourself in the way of law enforcement agencies and in the way of the people who can actually make that part of it happen, because in your situation, it's completely, that part is out of your control. But if you can get those people to agree to that and to be willing to work with it, it is absolutely a wonderful idea. It's just, it's going to take a lot. It'll take a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my thought was just a password protected website. You know, they can register and use any username that they want. And of course, mm-hmm. the only person that would know who they really are is me. And then the only ones that would be allowed access to the board would be law enforcement. They would have to send me a photocopy of their ID and stuff so I know that they are. And then they could do the same thing. They could log in, make up whatever username they want, and remain anonymous. And again, the only person that would know who they are truly is me. Basically just a blog type thing where they could go in, they could put up a picture of the, you know, that was another thing is how many psychics, because you talked about, you know, holding items and things like that, how many psychics could actually just look at a picture and read a few sentences on a computer screen, and that would be enough information for them to actually do something with?
Many. And the reason being that it doesn't matter, at least in my own personal experience, when you tap into the energy of a person, remember, the collective unconscious, we're one, we're all connected together. So when you tap into the energy of that person, you don't have to be right there next to them. You can be across the world. And I'll tell you that at first I thought I did all the psychic stuff backwards because, yes, I did readings for friends and family, but outside of that, I didn't do things in my community. The community I worked in was an online community, and it was a forum that was for spiritual development. And I frequently went to this forum, and we would do different experimentations like dream walking and see if we could meet up in dreams. But it was really a place where people could go and they could post their questions, like, here, I need a psychic reading on this situation. And what the people and myself there would do is somebody would post on a forum, like, here's my situation, what do you get from it? And then we would just give them a psychic reading based on their question. And sometimes their only question would be, what do you see happening for me in my marriage? Okay, that's all you get. Well, it doesn't matter if you're sitting across from that person or if you're halfway around the world. When you tune into that person's energy, bam, you're there. So I started doing readings just from little posts in a forum, and then it moved and accelerated to chats. I would go into a live chat and have, you know, 20 people in the chat, and they would keep a list, and we'd take turns, and I would do readings for one at a time, and I would read with the other people. And so there's no voice there. There's no physical contact. And in fact, that made being a reader even easier because there's no way to read someone's body language or expressions, or rather you're on, you know what I mean? There's no way to read them because a lot of people say, oh, psychics, they're just watching body language. They're just watching your reaction. Well, if I can't see you, if I can't see your reaction, you know, it must be coming from somewhere else. And so I guess I started off doing the hard stuff first and then doing on the phone live readings and in-person readings, that was like cake. But it doesn't matter because you're still connecting to the energy. So, yes, conceivably, people should be able to get very much just by looking at the picture online or just by a name. I mean, that's all it takes to tune into somebody.
All right. Well, maybe I'll...
Go for it. The worst that can happen is it doesn't work out, you know?
Yeah, maybe I'll have to tap you as my co-person to my go-between, my liaison with the psychic community, and see if we can get a few people on board with this to make it worthwhile. And then I think I know someone that used to be a police officer that can maybe help me get the word out to a bunch of law enforcement agencies. Hint, hint. can you read yourself? Do you do readings on yourself?
I used to say, oh, I can't read myself because I can't be objective enough. And now I'm coming out of that. And there's more to it than that. But I am coming to a point where I'm becoming more and more comfortable on where the messages come from and which ones are true and which ones are my own self-thought. That's one of the most challenging things about being a psychic when you're learning, is to be able to differentiate between the thoughts of other people, messages coming from spirit, and your own self-talk, because it all happens inside of you. You know, the messages you're getting are telepathic. So you have to be able to differentiate between what is it that you are saying and what is it that's coming from others. So with that said, I've become better and better at picking between what is my own thinking and what is not mine. And that's how I know when messages come through. So, yes, as time is going on here, I'm getting a lot more personal messages. But they are really, I don't want to say stingy because I don't want to tick them off, but they will give me information about my own spiritual path. They will give me information about where I'm going and things I'll be doing in the future as far as teaching other people and growing as a person. So they will give me those things. Will they tell me personal things about my own emotions, like my romantic life and things like that? Every time I try to tap into that, they usually throw up, like, they pull down the shade or whatever it is, but that's their way of telling me, sorry, you have to live that just like everybody else. We're not going to help you out on that one. And at first I was a little ticked off about that. I'm like, oh, okay, so I can see somebody else's romantic path, but I can't see my own. That's real fair. But now I understand better that I have to have things that make my life worth living and surprising and exciting, and it's probably just best not for me to know those things right now, and so I've come to accept that.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be like a walking computer, you know. Anything you want to know, just pull up the answer, and there'd be no surprises, no enjoyment of living life
and
things like that. So I can understand that. They're only going to tell you what they figure you need to know.
Exactly.
If you can figure it out on your own, then you're going to have to do it on your own. Exactly.
I can understand that.
A little while ago, you mentioned that you can tell the difference between those who have crossed over and those who haven't by the vibrations. Now, I constantly hear paranormal investigators saying that the spirits in a haunted house are on a different vibration than humans. That's why we can't see them or hear them, which kind of contradicts what you said earlier, that you can tell when they haven't crossed over because it's like someone standing right next to you.
Right.
And I would think you'd have a better insight on that than they would. So maybe they're going under the false assumption that they're on a different vibration, when in reality they're on the same vibration. They're just barking up the wrong tree.
Well, let me clarify. I don't think that they are on the exact same frequency as us, because obviously something has changed. They're not in their physical state anymore. They're not in a physical body. So I don't believe that they have the same frequency that we do. So that would make sense why we still can't see them or whatever. Why I can feel their vibration, I don't know. I do know the difference is that they seem to vibrate at a slower rate, like a human being. They are much closer to the way a human being feels standing next to me than an energy that's crossed over that's on the other side, because that's very, very quick. So from a scientific perspective, if they've measured frequencies and things like that, which somebody out there probably has, you know, I'm sure they know what they're talking about. I don't think that we vibrate at the same level because, like I said, we're not in the same form. But because they're trapped still closer to the physical realm, the dimension that we live in and that you and I walk around in a physical state, since they're still attached or trapped or whatever to this realm, it must slow their vibration or their vibration hasn't quickened. And, you know, I'm really just pulling this out of somewhere, but it sounds right. So
well, see, I figure I'll ask you the question, and they'll provide you with the answer.
That's
I'm
exactly
for.
What's
see,
going
I'm
on
you,
here.
I'm using you as a go-between.
I'm the channel. I knew that was going to happen. So to my understanding, that's what it is. It's just that they vibrate a little faster than we do, but it's not the same as an energy that's crossed over. I mean, that's much faster.
Well, then maybe I need to ask specific questions like, what frequency are you on so we can tune to it? Someone tell me the exact frequency.
Yeah, we'll work on that one. I think if we can get that answer, then we have just made a huge breakthrough.
Exactly, and it's like, stop beating around the bush. I mean, if you got them on the line, just ask them. So, okay. You've gone around and done readings for people. You ever taken a spirit home with you? Ever taken someone else's problems and carted them home with you?
Well, their problems and energy are different from spirits, but yes, I've carted it all. For a long time, when I didn't realize that I was opening up so quickly, I was actually owning the emotions of all kinds of people around me. In fact, I worked in a call center at one point, and that's when I started to really, really open up and discover what was going on with myself on a spiritual psychic level, if you want to call it that. And I got to the point where I couldn't even go to work in that place because you had 100 people crammed in this teeny tiny room, and then add to all of the people calling in and what I just told you, that it doesn't take much. All you need, you'd get the name or a question or whatever, and you tune into that person. That's why your psychic thing will work. So now imagine me crammed in that room with 100 people, all the garbage going on in their lives, all of their falling apart marriages, and all the happy things going on in their lives, and then all of the people calling in, not on just my phone, but on everyone else's phone, and it was like sensory overload. I have also lived with...
So it's like they call up for a part for their dishwasher, but you immediately know their whole life story.
Well, I didn't at that time, but yeah, I was tuning in to everything. So I would go home so drained and exhausted, and I hated the thought of getting up and going to work at that place again. I just couldn't take it. It was too much, and I did not know at the time that that's what was happening. I can look in retrospect now, and I know that that's what was going on, because I have never gone back to an environment like that again. But... But yes, even after the Ringling investigation, I'll tell you, when I went home that night and went to sleep, because I was so in tune that night, and I chit-chatted with a lot of different spiritual energies. I picked up on residual energies. I was channeling emotional experiences. It was a really, really taxing evening, but it was really super exciting, and it was a great experience for me. But when I went home that night, I have to be honest, laying in bed, they kept waking me up every few seconds. Like, somebody was right in my face, somebody wanted to talk, I was hearing noises, I was feeling energies all around me, and it was really chaotic. And I thought, okay, next time I know to pay better attention and do something so that they don't just... it was like I'm off the clock. It goes back to that off the clock thing, and I was so exhausted, and I was like, I'm not investigating anymore. I want to sleep now. Go away. It was really intense. So,
and they're like, we're here 24/7. So how can you go off the clock? That's not fair.
That's right. So eventually, I did fall asleep, but it was like every minute I was waking up and somebody was talking to me. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's really how it went down. Somebody was talking, and I was just like, no, I'm done talking to you. I need to sleep.
Now, wait a minute. Now, getting back to the phone calling, you said you never put yourself in that position again. Are you a school teacher?
Yes, I am.
So you're in a school with like hundreds
you just
people
outed
every
me.
Day. And so I'm like wondering if you're sitting there at the desk in the front of the class and just looking around the room and you know like every single problem that's going through every one of these kids' heads.
Like, oh my God.
Okay. This one got yelled at yesterday for doing this, and this one broke the vase and didn't tell their mother, and it just seems to me school's got to be one of those overloading places too.
I got the message that this was going to happen, Al. Okay, congratulations. You have now made it public that I'm a school teacher, because nobody knew that. But it brings up something.
I didn't know we weren't supposed to know that.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it, because what you're wanting to talk about, actually, I got the message a couple nights ago that I was going to be talking about this on air, and so now I know that it was going to be on your show. And what
I
do.
Oh, I feel bad.
No, it's fine. I love it, because what I do is really, you know, it's healing for all of the kids involved. When I am, you're right, you are absolutely right. Being a teacher and being in the environment when I have lots of adults around me and having 150 kids go in and out of my room a day, it's a lot. You're absolutely right. And I do use my intuition. It has helped me to be a very successful teacher. It really has, because what I can do with it, and I have never told anybody this before, so breaking news, I use my intuition with my students to tell how they learn, because people learn in different ways, and they all need different things to get through to them, whether they need visual aids or they need help with reading, or this kid learns better by doing hands-on stuff. I can tap into somebody just being around them, and I know, okay, this is what this kid needs in order to learn it. This is what this one needs in order to learn it. And when I'm in the classroom, I don't just teach content, but I teach life lessons. I make it my goal to teach the kids about self-empowerment, about knowing that they are in control of their own destinies and never to let anyone tell them that they're not. I do, you're right, I can pick up on the ones that are having a really horrible day. I can sometimes tell ones that, you know, had a fight with their parents the night before. I know when ones come from homes that are, and a lot of my students come from lower socioeconomic levels, and they come from homes where they don't have families at all, or they don't have anyone that's there for them, or where they go through constant mental or emotional abuse or drug usage around them. And so I can key into each individual person there, and I know how to get through to that one. I know how to teach that one, and I know what to say to this one that's going to leave an impact and uplift him or her. And so, yeah, I absolutely do use it all the time.
I wish everyone was. I got a daughter who has Asperger's syndrome and struggled her whole life in school. She just learns differently than other kids, you know, and a lot of the teachers around here, it's like just shove them through and get them out of my class and into the next one, and then it won't be my problem anymore, you know. And if they all had the intuitive gifts that you had, then you know, might be a whole different story here. So, needless to say, nobody gets away with cheating in your class, right?
It's really weird because I have very poor vision, but they haven't figured out how I know that they're doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. So I guess they don't realize how poor my vision is, but I have a very acute hearing. I can hear really, really well, and of course I can use my vibes, and there's something about those kids that I have a rapport with them that they're usually really respectful, and we always have a great time when we're working together. I know that they have fun when I'm working with them, and so now do I have some of them that sometimes stick gum under the desk? Yes, I do, and when I get those little boogers, I'm you know, but for the most part, yeah, I sometimes, and I try, I really, I have to be careful how I use my intuition, because I am aware, and this is why I haven't come out and said that, yes, I'm a teacher during the day. I'm aware that in the community, there are people who are not okay with people like me. And so I try to use my gifts to the best of my ability to help other people without doing something that would infringe on someone else's belief system. Does that make sense to you?
Yep, exactly. I understand what
like
you're
I feel
saying.
Like I have to really respect.
Well, it'd be like the Salem witch trials, you know.
Yeah.
The wrong person on the school board finds out, and that would be about it, probably, you know.
Yep. But I also trust and know. I knew that at some point I would have to talk about being a teacher. And like I told you, my guides told me the message the other day that I was going to be talking about it on radio, and in fact that I would have that conversation that I just had. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know when that's going to happen, and it just happened now. But so know that now what's happened for me is kind of it's revolutionary in my own life. But I also know and trust that I'll be doing what I'm supposed to be doing for as long as I'm meant to do it, and when the time comes that I'm no longer doing it, it's because I'm not supposed to. So I'm okay with that. I've accepted it already.
So I was going to save this question for the very last, but I guess now would be a good time to ask it. Do you have any comments for the skeptics out there?
Ooh. And I do see there's a question in the chat room, and we can address that in a second. Comments for the skeptics. I don't, because a skeptic is going to be a skeptic until he or she has his or her own experiences, and when that happens, he or she will probably still continue to be skeptical. And you know what? I'll say to those people who are not skeptical at all, to just buy everything that comes out of somebody's mouth without questioning it, that's not a good idea either. So I don't feel like being completely skeptical in a way that you would turn away all spiritual experiences and not be open-minded, I feel like that's really bad. But to be on the other extreme, where you just, I mean, anyone who comes in and listens to me and just takes everything I say at face value, you know, I'm not trying to hurt myself in any way, but, I'm not God. And so a good amount of healthy skepticism is a good thing, but it's like everything in life. Balance is key. If you eat too much chocolate all day long, it's really, really bad for you. But if you just have a little bit of chocolate now and then and you can balance it, then it's a good thing. So that's the thing with skepticism. But I'm not here to change. I know that my mission in life is not to change skeptics. That's something that really inevitably they're in charge of doing themselves. And so whether an experience with me helps to change their viewpoints, then I'm all about it. But as far as going out and trying to change somebody's mind, it's not my job. It's not what I'm meant to do. I'm meant to work with the people who are open already, who are open and ready and who are past that point, and they want to evolve and learn and grow, and they want to experience and just see what it's all about. Someone read my astrological chart, and there's a lot of interesting stuff in there, but one thing in there said that I would be like the midwife for the soul. So I would be there to see the awakening and the birth of many new souls, watch people awaken spiritually one after another, which is really cool. What a fantastic thing to have happen in your life. I'm so excited about that. And I know that I'm on the right path to doing that. But it's just not my job to change anybody's mind. I hopefully when they come in contact with me, maybe they'll lose a little bit of skepticism, but if they don't, that's okay too. As long as we can peacefully coexist, that would be my goal, is okay, let's just peacefully coexist then. I respect you and all that you believe, as long as you can give me space to believe what I believe and respect me.
And I think as time goes on, it seems to be that people are getting to be more open-minded lately, in the last few years, to ghosts, psychics, and all things paranormal, and that's why you're seeing the big rush of shows on TV and everything else, because more people are beginning to accept that and willing to listen. I know Josh and I, we get into little discussions on orbs And you know, he says 99% of those he can recreate and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, just because you can recreate something doesn't mean it doesn't happen any other way. I mean, we can go out and start a fire, but that doesn't mean lightning can't start a fire too. So just because you can recreate EMF readings doesn't mean they don't happen from some other reason. And
sure.
And things like with your gift too, you know, just because you've got eyes, ears, nose, and things like that doesn't mean there isn't other ways to see and hear the same things or different things, just because it's not how it's normally done.
Absolutely.
So,
and that's going to be based
on... Go ahead.
I was gonna say that was going to be based on needs of people, too. I mean, obviously, many of the paranormal investigators who are not open to using mediums in their work, I feel... No, I'm going to tread lightly. No, I'm not even going to go there. But, you know, they're doing it from a scientific perspective, and so they're getting the information the way that they need to get it to understand it. It's like the way people learn, like I was just talking about using intuition on how people learn. So those groups of people are only going to be able to learn and accept through a scientific experience, and that's fine. But there are other people who wouldn't even be able to appreciate it in that kind of setting. Therefore, they need to experience it differently. So I feel like we're in a huge classroom going around life all the time in the universe, and we're being taught different lessons, different ways that are tailored to our own learning needs.
All right.
Yeah.
Now I see you said there was a question in the chat room. Did you want to take care of that?
Yeah. Sunflower asked, when we were talking about being in an environment where all sorts of psychic information and energy and things are flowing around you all the time. You're welcome. I love that heart. That's so cute. I'm looking at the chat, sorry. When all of that information is flowing in and out and you have that stream of consciousness around you, how do you turn it off? And the best thing I can say for that is you have to learn to differentiate. When you can start learning what's your own thoughts and feelings and what is the garbage of the outside world, being able to identify it is the biggest key to not letting it bother you. Because I can walk into a place and suddenly start feeling very depressed or emotional, and I say to myself, this isn't me. Like, I know I don't feel depressed. I don't feel emotional. So where is this coming from? When I can pinpoint where it's coming from, then I don't own it. Then I know, okay, this isn't my garbage. I don't have to feel it, and I can let it go. It doesn't affect me. But at a more basic level, there are things that you can do, and they're basic meditations. You can Google on the internet, learn how to ground. It's called grounding, centering. Those are very basic meditations that can keep you, just what they say, grounded and centered. And things like, well, I won't even get into the information's out there. In the future, if you want to talk about meditation, we can do that. But also things like walking on the beach or going through a walk outside, because you're in tune with nature, whatever it is that nature has to offer us, for some reason grounds us. When I do any kind of healing, if I'm doing some kind of healing stuff, like on somebody's headache, or if I'm giving a psychic reading, or I feel an energy around that bothers me that I know isn't mine, a lot of times I go and wash my hands, because water is really grounding. It's cleansing, and it helps you to get rid of all that energy. So the fastest thing to do, Sunflower, if you are out in the public and something is really bothering you and you're feeling so emotionally overwhelmed, you could always go somewhere and wash your hands. I used to do a quick little meditation in my mind where I would just throw up like a circle. I would encase myself in a bubble, and I could feel the energy going around me, and it would make like a little bubble, and that worked for me. It's really like try, fail, adjust is what Stephen Rabel says all the time. Try, fail, adjust. You try different things. If they work, you keep it. I know that there are all kinds of things out there, certain kinds of incenses that you can burn. I know that there are gemstones that you can carry. I can't pretend to know anything about that. All I know is something about the gemstones and their vibrational rates are supposed to attune to different things, but I don't really, that's not an area of expertise of mine, but I know there are gemstones that are supposed to do that. The thing I usually do is I take a shower. Like when I would come home from, even when I worked in a restaurant, because there are a lot of people coming and going there too. I would have to go home, and not only was I covered in restaurant funk and rice in my shirt pockets and everything, but you know, I had to cleanse away all of the excess energy too. So showers really are the best thing, but it's just when you're out in public, you can't grab a shower real quickly. So
well, if there's a fountain in the mall or something.
Yes, jump right in. Absolutely. Drinking water, even just drinking water. So carrying a bottle of water with you, and it's the same, you know, you're cleansing the inside, I guess. Hope that helps, Sunflower.
I heard one psychic say once that there's no real way of turning it off, but you just turn it down. Is there even room for, like, a conscience in your head now, or is it just totally filled with everybody else's stuff?
For a conscience. Yeah, I have, my conscience guides me a lot along with the intuition, but it's so funny. You are more psychic than you know, because you are asking about all of these things that have been going through my mind lately, and so you're really tapped into me here. I was just telling someone this morning, in fact, that I feel like I'm in such a fast-forward program to learning all of these things, and that's why I keep saying, I'm a teacher, but I'm a student. I am learning, learning, learning on a constant basis, and I have so many wonderful people in my lives that are teaching me all the different metaphysical subjects, if you will. And at the end of the day, I say, it doesn't look like I got anything done, but I feel like I worked forever. I feel like I worked really, really hard. And I know it's because every moment I seem to be learning more stuff. So, no, my brain has that little gerbil in there, and it just goes round and round and round constantly, and it's hard to shut it off because I'm always analyzing what's going on, what thoughts are mine, what thoughts aren't mine, what spirit's around. And so sometimes you do have to tune that out and turn it off. And that happened to me just the other night. I suddenly became neutralized or something. It was so weird because I was sitting there and I thought, I don't care about anything. I'm not happy. I'm not sad. Nothing bothers me. I'm not tuned in to anybody's anything. And it was just like, my spiritual body or whatever finally said, okay, you're cut off. You've had enough for today. And so I just neutralized, and I didn't pick up on anything. And I thought, wow, this is kind of nice. Maybe I'll just sit here and enjoy this for a minute, because it's gotten really chaotic and hectic in my mind lately. If you can't tell by listening to me.
So you're on, like, overload at the time.
Yeah,
we got about 17 minutes left here. I still got a few questions I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
During all the readings that you've been doing for the last 8 years, what's the dumbest question anyone's ever asked you?
Oh, my gosh.
Because, frankly, I sit and listen to some of these radio shows you're on, and people call in, and they ask some dumb questions. I mean, I would not waste a psychic time asking them whether my lawsuit is going to come out all right or not. I don't know. I suppose that's important to them, but
exactly.
It's like either it will or it won't. Just wait and you'll find out. You know, I want to know answers to the big questions that I can't answer myself or can't possibly get an answer to without coming to someone like you.
But you
know?
Can. You have to stop telling yourself that you can't, because you can get. I get it. I understand where you're coming from. But you're exactly right. You hit on it.
Yeah.
I'd
ask a question like, you know, is everything that I start to do going to turn to crap, or is something finally going to work out in my favor? You know, I mean, stuff.
Yeah.
Questions like that, you know. So what's the dumbest one anyone's ever asked you?
I don't know. That's
you don't have
really
to give
hard.
Their. You don't have to give their name.
No, I know. I'm trying to think, because I mean, I really do. I get a lot about people want to know about relationships. I guess the ones that I find to be silliest are like when somebody asks me about. There was this guy back in high school, and when we were in high school, people were telling me that he was cheating on me. And I just like to know, because I haven't been able to let that go all this time, was he really cheating on me, and it wasn't the one redheaded cheerleader that I thought it was? So So, I mean,
from 35 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, those things, but it's like, it's a silly question, but at the same time, if it's going to help that person let go of this thing that has been nagging them and haunting them for the last however many years, then I guess I can help them out with it. But, yeah, I mean,
obviously, yeah, it's important to them. I mean, they don't have a life, obviously, if that's what they've been worried about, you know.
Yeah. But,
I mean, I can ask myself a bunch of questions, you know. Okay, if I did something different back then where would I be now? And I don't even want to think about it because I'd cry probably. So speaking of that, I know you talked, you had a whole show on the laws of manifestation.
Yeah.
And how you can actually predict your own future in a way. You can actually alter your own path and your own future and bring the things that you dream about to you. Can you quickly summarize what the laws of manifestation are or as you see them?
Sure. The laws of manifestation basically are thoughts are things. Whatever you put out there is what's going to be created in your life. And that's why you hear all those inspirational quotes that are like, believe in yourself and anything that you want can happen. Because it really is true. It's the basics of that. And the basics are that what you believe will happen to you or does happen to you is your reality. And really that is from a quantum mechanics perspective, okay? If you look at theories of quantum mechanics, we create our own realities. As the observers, we're living our lives. And so whatever we think is what we create in our life. And so people recreate their self-concepts that way. Whatever you believe yourself to be is who you are, who you become. And that's it in a nutshell. It's not a really intricate law. It's not something that is really, really difficult, or the law or theory itself is not. It's very simple. Whatever you want to manifest, you basically imagine that you have it already and that it just is. You have to accept it. The tricky part about that is really actually believing it, because as human beings, we're conditioned that everything is out of our control. I don't have control over that. Somebody else has control over that. I can't get myself out of this situation because it's not up to me. There are all these powers around me that are, you know, keep me from it or whatever. And I know that the universe is very intricate. But so that's the hardest part for people to manifest, is really accepting it and believing that what you say is truth, or what you think about yourself is truth. So, for example, I believe that Jesus probably was able to walk on water, not only because, let me tread lightly here, not to offend anyone in any way, but he knew that he could. He knew that he could, and so in his reality, he created it. I mean, without a doubt in his mind, he knew.
About same thing as firewalkers today. They just know they can
absolutely.
Do it, and they do it.
That's right. Absolutely. That's it. But it's the hardest thing, because we are so used to saying, the positive thinking, that sounds nice. Sure, I can do that. I can walk through that wall. And no matter how much you really want to walk through the wall, or you would like to believe that you could walk through the wall, we already know that the wall is there. And so then we start using logic, and we're like, no, the wall exists, it's hard, I can't do that. And so, not saying I can walk through walls, because I don't believe it, you know, but that's how the law essentially works. And that's how you use it to create the things in life that you want. So that's it in a nutshell.
I don't know why, but I bought the movie The Secret, and I don't know what made me buy it, but I watched it 3 times in one day. And then right after that, I wound up being approached by, I wasn't even approached. I was searching around for work to do from home, and I stumbled on a company that actually puts the laws of manifestation to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
And wound up becoming a distributor for that company. And the company's so great because it allows me to do those positive things every day. I mean, what it is, it's a greeting card company. So what I did was, the first thing I did was I put my ultimate goal on the front of the card, and then inside I put my 10 dreams that I want to happen, and I sent the card to myself, and I just keep reading it and reading it, and that, watching The Secret, listening to you, it's like I'm stumbling on all these different things on manifestation and how to think positively and not contradict myself by using the negative terminology, like I can't do that.
Right.
You got to keep using the I can and I will and I already have.
And that's exactly it. When you can get all that negative self-talk out of your brain, and it really takes practice. Like you just said, you have to be aware of it. And when you catch yourself thinking, I can't do that, or that's too hard, or I'll never be able to get this done, that's when you have to stop and say, okay, I'm working against myself. But there comes a point, I mean, it's really beneficial to know all that, but sometimes it'll drive you crazy, because when I get stressed out about something, it's natural to start stressing on it, but I catch myself and I say, stop. You can't stress on this. You have to let it go. You have to know it'll be okay, because if you stress on it, it'll work against me. It, like, slows down your progression. It throws up blocks, and then it makes it impossible to manifest whatever it is that you want. So it really takes, if you want to call it faith, then you call it faith. If you want to call it scientific understanding, then call it scientific understanding. But it really, really takes all of that. It takes knowing and believing. It is that belief, the core belief, that is what will ultimately manifest. And I love what you talked about, sending the card to yourself. That is so powerful. It's like they talk about in The Secret, making a storyboard. And I don't know how many minutes we have left, but
we got about eight minutes left.
Okay. I'll tell you quickly. I did make a storyboard, not so much of the things that I wanted in life, because I wasn't interested. This is maybe going on 9 months ago or so. It wasn't the things that I wanted in life that I wanted to focus on. Instead, I wanted to create myself, who it was that I wanted to be. And so I created a storyboard with all of these things that, I used pictures. It was so fun. It was like being in kindergarten. I got all these magazines and all these art supplies, and I sat down with glitter and glue and markers, and I created this collage. And putting my own energy into creating this collage made it that much more powerful, because the whole time I was doing it, I was focusing my intent. It's the same as if you were working a spell. It's the same concept. You're using the powers of manifestation, intention, thoughts, or things. So, for example, to show that I'm an intuitive person, I cut out this picture of the moon, and I put it on the paper, and I wrote on it with markers. I follow my intuition. I always let it guide me, and it is always right. And that is such a powerful thing, because to me, the symbol of the moon represents the divine feminine. It represents intuition and mystery in life. So I used a symbol that was powerful to me, and then I used words of affirmation that were powerful to me, and I used my intent putting them on this collage, into this great collage of who I wanted to be. And so I did that with many, many, many different facets, and I've just been watching those things come to fruition over time, more and more things that I wanted to bring about. So now I'm ready to create a new collage of where I want to be in life. And it was interesting that I did all of those things in 2008 with the recreating the self concept, because I had my astrological chart done, and he told me, he said, look at here, whatever is in the 12th house, you, just in 2008, you recreated your self-concept. You recreated who you were. And I said, oh my God, you're absolutely right. And he said, please remember, I'm not a psychic. And it was Jim Cummins, the astrologer, actually, who's been on many blog talk shows. He's the one that told me that. He said, I am not psychic. I can see it in your chart. That in 2008, that's when you would recreate your self-concept and recreate the life that you're meant to be living. And during that time is when I found my divine purpose. I mean, without a doubt, validation of my divine purpose.
Mm-hmm. Some people might be wondering what this has to do with anything, but we're basically talking about the same psychic energy that you draw your readings from, right? I mean, it's just how a normal person through positive thinking and actions can manipulate that energy and pretty much create the future that they want, instead of relying on someone like you just to tell them what it's going to be like and then sitting back waiting for it to happen.
Absolutely. And that brings up a really good point. Yes, it is all part of the collective flow, this flow that's running around us that, it, you know, that I keep referring to. It is part of that, and it's all part of manipulating that and making it work for you. I'm sorry, I just got distracted for a second. Oh, but with the readings, that's why it's important for people to realize that when they get a psychic reading, really the best way to go about that is say, okay, if I take this path, what will be the outcome? Okay, now if I choose to take this path instead, what will be the outcome? Because what's the benefit really? I mean, you know your future or whatever, but wouldn't it be nice to know you have a choice in all of that? If you want to change things, you just go ahead and change it. So maybe the best way to get a psychic reading is to say, if I decide to do this one thing, how's that going to work out for me? Or if I decide to do this other thing, how's that going to work out for me? And that really shows, you know, because the future is always changing based on what it is that we're doing. So when you get a reading and somebody says, this is what's going to happen in your future, I can't say all the time, but I would imagine that most of it is, what's going to happen if you continue on the path the way that you're continuing now? But should you choose to make a major change, then everything shifts. So people have this idea that they have no control.
You're reading my mind now, because that's just what I was just going to say. A reading is only a snapshot of that given moment in time.
Perfect.
This is what your
yep.
future looks like at this minute, but you could change something next week, in which case would change the whole reading. And maybe that's half the reason psychics get a bad rap sometimes.
Because it doesn't come out, yeah?
Right, because the people have changed something in their life, which changed the circumstances, which basically changed the reading. So now the initial reading's wrong, therefore the psychic doesn't know what they're talking about.
Right.
All right, we got about 2 minutes. 2 minutes left here.
Okay.
I was reading a little bit. It's weird how all these things come to me. Someone sent me part of a chapter in a book, Think and Grow Rich, which is basically along the same lines as The Secret, about an R.U. Darby that was mining gold in Colorado and found gold. So went and got all kinds of investors, got all kinds of equipment, went back, started mining the gold, and then the gold dried up, lost everything. Sold all the equipment to a junk man. The junk man hired a engineer to come look, and come to find out, one of the most lucrative veins of gold was still right there, 3 feet away from where the people had stopped mining for it.
Wow.
So the junk man just went that extra 3 feet and turned into a multimillionaire. Now this Mr. Darby took this information, and knowing that in the past he was only 3 feet away from his gold mine, then went on to become one of the most successful insurance salesmen in the country, doing over $1 million a year in sales. So that just shows you, if you've got a goal in mind.
What company does he own?
I don't know at this moment, actually. Oh. This book was written, I believe, 1920. So this is about a 90-year-old book.
Okay.
But it just shows that when you've got those goals in mind, make sure you keep going. Because most people quit. 95% of the people quit just before it's going to happen for them. If they just went on that little bit of extra,
they would
make it. And I don't want to try to sell anybody anything, but if you want to know some more about this kind of stuff, just jump over to cardsaretheanswer.com. There's some cool videos over there on The Secret and things like that, and other Jim Rohn and Zig Ziglar and a few other videos I put up there, cardsaretheanswer.com. We got about a minute left, so I want to thank you for coming here and putting up with me and all my stupid questions. But I still feel I didn't have to ask the questions because you knew what they were going to be ahead of time. So,
well, thank you.
How about a one word? Go ahead.
Thank you. I had a blast being here, and you're one of the most fun conversations I've had in a long. Like, I really enjoy. You're a great person. You're so much fun to talk to, and you keep it interesting.
Well, I'm going to continue to connect with you here, because you got me interested in my subject now, my life here, so
well,
I got to know
my
more
work's
about
done.
That. One word answer. Can anyone be a psychic?
Yes.
There you go. All right. We're going to take next week off. We will be back the week after. Josh will be back, and we'll be moving to 7 p.m. Eastern time to get us out of the dinner hour and make it a little easier for the people on the West Coast. So I want to thank everyone for joining us and joining me and Gemini Rose, and we will definitely be back shortly, 2 weeks from tonight at 7 p.m. Thank you, Jem, again for being here.
Thank you, and thank you all the listeners and chatters that show up.
And our listeners are growing, and I thank everyone for telling everyone, spreading the news, and I appreciate it so much. So we will catch you back here 2 weeks from today. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Be sure to visit Gemini Rose by going to www.readingsbygeminirose.com.